We could see them coming, so we're excited about that. We'd run into the house because we saw them coming. And then, but we always knew that was worth the wait because, man, we would get the mother load when they came. They always brought us great stuff, and so we're excited about that. So they would finally come, and we would help them, very politely carry in all the goods, and we'd bring them in and put them underneath the tree. But then we had to wait for supper. And typically for supper, we would have oyster stew. We would have some lutefisk. We're a good old Norwegian family, and so my mom would make some lutefisk a little bit. And after the smell went away in the house, we would go into the kitchen, and we'd actually eat it. And then we'd have that with potatoes, and then she'd have some other things that we would eat as well. And so we had to wait until we were done eating. And then we had to wait until the dishes were done. And so, till this day, I have anxiety about dishes, and that's why I can hardly go into the kitchen and do dishes, because of that anxiety that came as a little child waiting for Christmas. So I'm trying to get help for that, but I'm getting closer to being able to do dishes because of that wait. But we had to wait until all the dishes were done, and then finally they were done. We kept coming in. Are we done yet? Are we done? Are you done? Finally we're done. We go into our living room area, and then we had to wait until everybody, we had to pass out all the presents to all the names. We had to wait for everybody to get all their presents. And then finally the time came that we were allowed to open them up. And then we dug in and we opened them up. So I can just remember that sense of anticipation and that sense of stress waiting. We hardly wait to open up our presents. Now today I want to talk about someone who waited his whole life to be able to see the God, that God's promises have come true. He waited his whole life for God to send Messiah, or the Anointed One, or the one that would come and rescue his people and save them from their enemies. And he had been faithful his life, waiting patiently for God to come through. Tonight we're going to look at a person named Simeon as we're closing off our series that we've done in our church these last few weeks on the Songs of Christmas. And Simeon is an interesting man that had waited for the Messiah to come. And he was privileged enough to know and see the blessing that God had sent into the world in the person of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we read about the story of Simeon in verses 25 through 35. It says this: "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what is the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" Now the Bible says that Simeon was righteous and devout. He had a special relationship with God. And he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, which meant that he was waiting for this Messiah, this anointed God King, to come and to save his people. Now, the passage says that Simeon had the Holy Spirit in his life, and that's interesting. For Christians, we know that when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior and turn our lives over to him, that he promises us the Holy Spirit to come in and live within us, God's very presence to come and help us live the life that he wants us to live. But in the Old Testament of the Bible and during this time period, the Holy Spirit only came on certain individuals, usually leaders like kings or prophets or judges. And so when it says that the Holy Spirit was on this man, it's a very special man. He was a very devout man. And so we are to take notice. And he was being guided by the Spirit because the Spirit was telling him that something special was going to happen here. Now the Lord had told Simeon that he would not die before seeing the Savior. And that day, God's promise came true. And so Simeon praised God. And this is his song that he sang: "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The song is called Nunc Dimittis, or Now Dismiss. Simeon praises God for allowing him to see the Savior and for God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to himself and also to God's people. Now, just within this little brief story, this is all that we know about Simeon, just in these few short verses. But in that, you can see a faithful man. And when I see this, I see characteristics of what a faithful person should live like. And that's what we can apply in our own lives as we think about what it means to live out Christmas faith. And so I want to look at four examples or characteristics of the kind of faith that we need to live our lives in response to Jesus being born in the world. Now, the first characteristic of a faithful person is that they're always ready for the Lord's return, to be ready for God at all times. My wife is a licensed daycare provider, and she's done that for 22 years. And one of the things that you have to do is you always have to keep your licensure up, and so you get inspected every other year. They kind of tell you when they're going to come, but they can't tell you the day that they're going to come, because then you can get everything in order. So you always got to be on your toes and waiting for that. But every other year, typically, I don't know if they do that every year yet, but they probably move to that. And so there's that anticipation. You want to be ready. You don't want to have anything in out of place. And they can do it any time that they want to. So you got to make sure your medicine cabinets are closed so that the kids can't go in there and gargle with rubbing alcohol, those kinds of things like that, or go in to carry special area with all of her knives and whatever else she has for taking care of discipline in their house. No, you have to lock certain areas. You don't want them to get in the paint, or you don't want them to get in underneath the cupboards and all that stuff. So you got to have all that in place. You got to make sure everything is covered and so on and so forth. You always have to be ready for an inspection. You always need to be on your toes. And the same is true when we're waiting for the Lord. Now, Simeon had been waiting patiently for God. And what we don't maybe not realize is that God had been silent for 400 years. There's a 400-year period between the Old Testament of the Bible and the New Testament of the Bible where God was silent and he did not reveal himself to anybody to write it down. And so you can imagine 400 years. I think of where we're at in America. We've been going for 200, 250 years, and it seems like an eternity. Can you imagine 400 years waiting for God to speak once again? And so this man was patiently waiting. And God had revealed to him that this time had come. And so he was ready for it. He didn't have to get his life all in order for that to happen. He was living a devout, righteous life. Many of us just assume that we're going to live forever. And so we always live in that manner. But what if the Lord were coming tomorrow? Would you be ready to face him? And would you be ready to go with him? What would you do? What would you have to change in order to be ready? You know, country western singer Tim McGraw has a great song called Live Like You Are Dying. In that song, he talks about all the things a person would do when they know that they have limited time on earth before that takes place. We just had friends of ours that told us that they just found out some bad news and that there's going to be limited time on earth for one of them, and they're going to have to talk with their family about that this coming in within the next couple of weeks. We just never know. But you always have to be ready. You always have to be ready. And I think when we live with faith and when we live with Christmas faith, that we're living a righteous and devout life so that no matter what happens, no matter what tomorrow brings, that we're always ready to face our Lord so that he can look at us and say, good, well done, faithful servant. Now, a second characteristic of faithful living is that Simeon trusted God's promise. And so that's what it is, trusting God's promise. You know, a while back, I put in a new garbage disposal, and I hate doing that because it's a pain to get up and you kind of crank yourself underneath the sink and you reach up in there and your hands get all cut up by all the yucky stuff underneath that, and so it's a pain to do that. But I did. I put one in, and I had a 5-year warranty on it, and so once you get done, you just don't want to touch it anymore. And so you can imagine what I felt like when a couple days later, Carrie came back and said, you know what, the thing doesn't work, and I just went, what? And so I ripped the stuff out, and I cleaned out everything underneath there again, and I got back up there, and everything was attached right in there. So then I reached down inside there and found out that it was just it was a can opener that got stuck in there, and it got jammed in, you know, the slicers inside there, that got jammed in there. It was hard to feel that, but that was all there was. But it reminded me how frustrated you get sometimes when you get a 5-year guarantee, and then it quits on you. and how frustrating it is. And that's kind of the world that we live in. There's nothing guaranteed in this world. You get a new car and stuff starts happening. You get a new car thinking that it's going to not happen for a while, but then all of a sudden something starts happening. And it's frustrating, the world that we live in, because of that. The sad part is that you just can't trust in things always working. And the same thing is, you can't trust people that they're always going to come through in the end as well. You place your trust in people you respect only to find out that he or she is living a different kind of life, and it's so disappointing. So the question is, who and what can you trust anymore? I mean, do you even trust yourself? Do you know enough about life to get it right every time that you make a decision in life? Of course we don't, but yet we struggle with that. Do you trust the incredible potential in people who sometimes pour out gifts of charity to the hurting world and then turn around and hurt hundreds of thousands of people through genocide? It's hard to trust people. Do you trust in science, which has provided some incredible breakthroughs in understanding the world around us and have developed such wonderful things as antibiotics and pain medicines, which I participated in last week as I had some teeth work done. And I was so grateful for pain medicine when they would drill your teeth and drill and drill and drill. Yet it's science that has also provided some incredible breakthroughs in molecular levels, developing nuclear and biological weapons that threaten the very existence of humanity. Do you trust in the laws of the land? These same laws that we're so proudly that we state reflect progressive humanism, only later to realize we have simply regressed back into past paganism. Do you trust the Republicans or Democrats or Independent Party, the Green Party, the Red Party, whatever party there might be? Do you trust business CEOs or banks CFOs or healthcare HMOs? Simeon praised God because he has always been reliable. He came through on his promise. Simeon would be able to see the salvation of Israel. He trusted in God's promises, and that's my point. When the world that we live in, that it's hard to place your trust in anything around us, that we can place our trust in God. That's the example that Simeon came for us. God came through. He always does. Read the Old Testament promises of God, and they always came true. Simeon had to wait a lifetime for God's timing, and we might have to wait a lifetime as well. But if we focus on living a devout and righteous life in the Holy Spirit, we can live each day with eager expectation that God's promises will come true. Now, third characteristic in that passage is that we need to believe that truth, not only to trust in his promises, but then believe in the truth that Jesus teaches us. Remember that old saying, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, Simeon believed even before he saw Jesus. But Jesus came to help us see God so that we could believe. Simeon stated that this Messiah, this Savior, would be the light for the revelation of the Gentiles. Gentiles are us, non-Jewish people. Maybe some of you have a Jewish background, but Gentiles simply mean non-Jewish people. And that the Messiah would not only come just for his people, the Jewish people, but they would come for the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people as well. And he's going to be a light of revelation for the Gentiles. Now, light in the Bible is used to describe God revealing himself to people. It's also contrasted with darkness. Darkness is depicted as evil and sinful and suffering and pain, where light is depicted as pure and good and hopeful. So this light would shine out so that the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, would have hope as well, and they would receive salvation too. Now most, if not all of us, are part of that group. Now Jesus came not only to give us hope to the Jewish people, but he also came to give hope to all people. Now, Jesus is like a light of revelation because he came to show us what God is like. We can know God only by knowing Jesus. For example, when Jesus came into the world as a little baby, he reveals to us that God is willing to go to great lengths in order to save his people. When Jesus healed a man with leprosy, he reveals to us that God cares about people with diseases. When Jesus cast out a demon from a man, he reveals to us that God is more powerful than evil in the world. When Jesus healed the blind man, he revealed to us that God cares for people with disabilities. When Jesus stepped in to prevent a woman from being stoned to death for committing adultery, he reveals to us that God is a God of second chances. When Jesus calms the storm, he reveals to us that God is all-powerful. When Jesus was able to dazzle the crowds and religious leaders with his insights, he reveals that God is all-knowing and all-wise. When Jesus invited people in his day who were called sinners to eat with him, he reveals to us that God desperately wants to help people who have made mistakes in their lives. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it reveals to us that God has done something to deal with the ultimate human dilemma, which is death. And when Jesus allowed himself to be arrested, tortured, and crucified, he reveals to us that God loves each and every one of us in such an extreme way that he is willing to die to get our attention. We see God through the life that Jesus lived. God came to reveal himself to us. He's a light to illuminate the truth. Now we just need to believe in that truth. Simon believed the truth of God's word, and now he had the privilege of experiencing the truth in the flesh as he saw Jesus. And at Christmas time, we're reminded that God came to show us who he is, and that we need to believe in that truth as well. We need to believe in the truth that God teaches about us, about the world around us, and how we can find hope. That's what faith is all about. And that's what Christmas is about. Now, the fourth characteristic that I see out of that passage is that not only was he ready, not only did he trust in the promises, and not only did he believe in the truth, but then he embraced the life that God had called him to live. You know, I had a friend in high school that was a mammoth of a man. Big boy. He was a big boy. And a strong boy. And I was always jealous of him because I was a scrawny little 156-pounder playing football. And here was this big guy, but he had no desire to play football at all. All he had to do is stand up and go like that, and the guy was gone. And I needed him because I needed someone to stand in front of me from the guys on the other side so I wouldn't get creamed getting tackled. But he didn't go out for football. And he's a good kid, and I shouldn't not saying that you're not devalued because of that. But I think about the potential that he had, and he still is a big boy. Still is a big boy. But he had no desire to do that. But the potential that he had to take that body and use it for something, but he had no interest to do that. But you know people that have unbelievable potential to do some incredible things. It could be athletics, it could be their minds, it could be their skills, their talents, or whatever it is, but they don't use it. They just let it go by the side. Simeon states in this song that the Savior would be a light to the revelation of the Gentiles, but the glory to your people Israel. This baby would be the glory to the people of Israel. That means that Israel would be celebrated because the Savior of the world came from their people. Jesus was Jewish. He came from the Jewish family and a Jewish line of kings. You would think that the Jewish people during Jesus' day would be excited about this opportunity. However, they were looking for a very much a different kind of king, a very different kind of Savior. They wanted a Savior who would destroy their political enemies so that they could reestablish a great kingdom, their great kingdom, like the old days during King David and Solomon. And when Jesus began his ministry, he started teaching a different kind of salvation. Most of the people rejected it, especially the Jewish religious leaders of his day. And what's sad is that here was the real hope of the world that was standing right in front of them, the real Messiah, and they failed to see him right there. Our biggest problems are not our political enemies, but sin in our life. And Jesus came to free us from sin dominating in our life so that we could get right with God and truly experience life the way it was meant to be lived. These people had the potential to truly receive glory, but they had failed and they rejected their only hope. And so that's a great lesson for us today even to think about. Each of us are loved by God. Each of us has a chance to experience real life. But this life is not found in our pocketbooks or our sexual identity or political party or gender, relationship status, our careers, our material things, our economic position, our degrees, our talents, our abilities. True life is not found in those things. True life, real life, is only found in Jesus. But so many people reject this life. They don't want a God who tells them what to do or how to live or who they are or how to love. They want a God that lets them do whatever they want to do, and that's what they think is real life. In fact, they would say, God loves me. He wants me to do this. If you love me, he will let me do that. Can you imagine that? I always tell that. People don't understand what love means. Love doesn't mean, if I let my kids do whatever they wanted to do, one of them would probably be gone because he was tied up and left to die somewhere. The other one, they would drink Mountain Dew every day and candy and all that stuff. They would do all these crazy things and end up hurting each other or getting sick or staying up all night or whatever it is. You give them guidance. Why? Because you love them. Love sets boundaries. You don't want them to get hurt. You discipline them for not listening to you, for not putting that away, because next time when they're trying to cross the street and they've ignored you for the last 2 years because you let them do whatever they want to do, and a car is coming down this road and they don't, and they say, whatever, Mom, I'll do whatever I want to do, boom. That's why you discipline, because you're trying to help them and save them. You're trying to love, you're loving them in that manner. I apply that to us as adults because we think that true happiness comes when we are allowed to do whatever we want to do. But you know what? In Romans chapter 1, read that chapter. And in there it talks about how God has revealed himself to the world. But the world around them has rejected him. And so the wrath of God is being poured out on his people. You know what the wrath of God is there? What it says the wrath of God is? When I thought about the wrath of God, I always thought of as lightning coming down and zapping you. That's the wrath of God. But in that passage, the wrath of God is this. He gave them over to. You're going like, what? He gave them over to. The wrath of God is he lets you do whatever you want to do. That's the wrath of God. Read that passage in Romans 1. Because eventually you implode when you don't follow God's way for life. The wrath of God is to let you do whatever you want to do. Simeon is a powerful example of living a devout, righteous life where the people of Israel rejected God because they wanted another kind, they wanted another kind of Messiah. Simeon embraced it and he lived it and he was blessed because of it, because he trusted in God's word and he lived the life that God had called him to live. We need to embrace the life and then we can receive that gift that Jesus gives. What a gift that Simeon received to see the promises of God come true. And he was at peace with God, now dismissed. It says, I've seen what I need to see. I know that God is faithful. I'm good with it. He says, okay, God, anytime you want to take me home, you can take me home. What a way to live. What a way to live. And you can live that way as well. Christmas reminds us of not only this child coming into this world, but it also reminds us that God has been faithful. And then it gives us an opportunity to kind of re-up again our own faith and to be re-energized, because Jesus came through and came to save us from all of ourselves. And then we place our hope back in him, we too can experience these blessings. And it is truly a gift. You know, sometimes when we are opening up our presents around the Christmas time, a person finds just the right kind of gift. Sometimes it's practical, something that we really need. We got a number of practical gifts for our kids. Sometimes it's special, like a gift given by someone who would not be around very much longer. Sometimes it's a gift that fits our personality. And sometimes a gift was just a way to really say, I love you. Now, God has given mankind a special gift in his son Jesus. It is a gift that is personal because each one must decide to receive it and open it. It is practical because it is a gift that helps us deal with life on a daily basis. It is special because Jesus gave up his life for us, and it also is a gift that shows us how much God loves us. And I hope that you've been looking forward to what God is going to do in your life. And I know it might be a frustrating life, and there's a lot of us, all of us have gone through things in life that really remind us how broken our world is. The good news is that God has come in the person of Jesus to rescue us and to give us hope. We just need to live our life in faith like Simeon did and wait patiently for the Lord to bring us home. And I hope that you'll live a life of faith, being ready for the Lord in your life, trusting in his promises, knowing the truth, and celebrating the life that he gives to you. And I ask that you accept that gift. If you've never accepted that gift, that at this Christmas that you open it up with anxious anticipation to see what God has in store for you. It was worth it for Simeon, and it will be worth it for you. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and thank you for coming out today, and remember this unbelievable gift that comes through Christ, and you too can have the blessings that Simeon experienced, and you too can say, Lord, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to go. We're going to end our service tonight by taking part in communion. You're welcome to take part and to share with us if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And I wanted us to end as we remember about this beautiful gift that Jesus has given to us, this baby that was born to save us from ourselves. And as we take part, let us remember about what this baby did. Let us remember the great length that Jesus went to in order to get our attention and to show his love for us. And I hope that you can embrace this gift. Simply as we pass, you can eat the bread and drink the juice and ask the Lord to, if your faith is kind of bland, to inspire you to live even better this next year. If you've had a rough going and you just don't know where to turn, I ask you to just simply say, Jesus, I need your help. And his promises will come true in your life, and he will come in and help. And if you need a Savior in your life, ask him to come in. He wants to bless you this Christmas. Let's pray, and then we'll take part together. And then we're going to close our service by singing a song. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these folks that came out this evening, and we're thankful for the example that Simeon set for us, that we can be encouraged in our own faith as we try to live in a world that is kind of hard to live in with all the stuff that's happening around us. There's good, but there's also some bad. And so we appreciate a faithful person like Simeon who lived all of his life in anticipation of the Savior to come. And I pray that we too can do that as well. Help us be reminded about what this baby has done for us, Lord. And let us reach out and take hold of that gift that he provides through us, through his son Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen.